Growth. How many of you like to grow spiritually? Physically, if it's dealing with muscles, I've grown different. I used to weigh 168 when I played here at Fort Hays 26 years ago. Growth is a good thing. The process may not always be good, but it is a good thing. And, you know, the Bible talks about in Luke 2, it says that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God. Amen. He grew in these things. It's part of all of our lives. So we have to grow or grow up or what have you spiritually. And John, if you got your Bibles, open up to John 15. Reading out of the New Living Translation, verses 1 through 8. He says, I am the true grapevine. I am the true vine. And my Father, have you got the NLT on that one, please? He says, and my Father is a gardener. This is Jesus talking about himself and the Father. And you can't get to the Father without going through the Son, okay? He is the way, the truth, and the life. No other religion states that. I mean, it's like, oh, well, there might be all roads that might lead to. No, no, no. Jesus is making this claim. He's stating this claim right here. I am the true vine. I am the way. I am the life. I am the truth. He is the way. So the number one thing is, you know, to have a relationship with Jesus. Verse 2, he says, he cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more fruit. So all that pruning that God does in our life is so that we will bear more fruit. I don't know about you, but I like fruit. I like to eat fruit. I don't like hot fruit. I like hot vegetables, but I don't like hot fruit. Peach cobbler, I mean, it's so good, but I won't eat the fruit. I'll eat the crust and the goo that comes with it. That's just how I am. Apple pie, same thing. Strawberry, I don't like hot fruit, but I do like, I can't eat carrots raw. I'll cook them. I'll steam them. That's just me. You guys might have your own preference. There's people that will go out and bear fruit, but they may not have that relationship with Jesus. They're trying to do it out of good works. You have to have a relationship with Jesus if you want it to count. Fruit can mean several things. We have the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. It talks about love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. And every born-again believer has these things living on the inside of them. Now, you may not operate it in full capacity, but you do have them. His word says in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says that all scripture is inspired by God and useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So the way that God corrects us is through his word. If we never read the word all the way through, we can just skip over certain verses. I don't need that for this season. I'm good. That might hurt a little bit because it's sharper than any double-edged sword. We may not want to read that one. Lord, I'll get back to that one next year. See, we don't have to defend ourselves. We defend the gospel. We don't have to defend ourselves when it comes to things in our life. You may have done something years ago. You don't have to come back and defend it. And someone may say something sideways. You don't have to defend it. Just keep on going because it's about your relationship. Sometimes people may twist scriptures in order to fit their own theology, their own thought process, their own life and what's going on in their life. This is why Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. God knows what we need pruned out of our own lives. You know, a couple of years ago, there was a message that I called Be Healed, and towards the end of it, it was like 30 questions. You can go back and it was like whether or not somebody may have a Jezebel influence or a trait. And I think everybody in here had one. You know why? Because we're not perfect. I think I had 4. What do? You repent. You ask God, prune that out of my life. No big deal. It wasn't to point fingers at anybody, but you know who does point fingers? Will be the one who's actually operating in all that. Trying to take it to another level. Oh, they got more. That's not what it was for. It was a self-examination. And sometimes it's good to examine ourselves over the years and just come back and be like, okay, I know this is where God had me at. This is where he's taking me. And this is where I am now. This is where I'm going. It's a long, drawn out process, but it is a process that we will all have to go through. If it isn't done through his word, then it's not from God. He corrects through his word, not through tragedies, not through sickness and diseases. Now, we can learn from all those, but that wasn't God who may have brought that in your life. Well, God is teaching me a lesson, and well, stay sick. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I used that equation, and I don't know if I really clarified it with the math and stuff. I was like, basically, what it is this. What a person could be doing, saying about correction might be true, but it doesn't apply to your life because you know what you're going through. And God knows what you're going through. So if you're trying to get it off of somebody else, well, I think they could be dealing with anxiety. How do you know that? Unless the Holy Spirit told you. And see, people will go through the great lengths to try to correct somebody based upon that, and they could be way off. That's why it's important to listen to the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit, anybody can just ballpark it. Anybody can just generalize it. God is going to bless somebody this week. I mean, there's going to be a miracle take place in your life this week. That's generalizing. But see, God doesn't, the Holy Spirit doesn't just generalize. The Holy Spirit is specific. It's an intimate relationship. It's a walk with him. So he doesn't just ballpark it. He'll get it in the same section. But not only that, he'll get it in the same row. And not only that, he will be sitting right next to you because it's a close relationship that you have with him. We don't have to generalize. When we're generalizing, and then you're trying to throw the dart at. Anyone can do that. God is going to heal somebody. Okay. He is a healer. We know that. He's going to deliver people out of darkness. Yeah, no doubt. That's what the word does. That's what he came to do. But he's very specific. He'll hit home. Like when you're dealing with fear. In the very specific fear that you're dealing with. And then he'll let you know that you're an overcomer of that specific thing. Because Jesus bore that on the cross. See, some people say, where's that thing at? Phones. Nah, it wasn't just because it was said last week. And I've kind of had this on my heart for quite some time. People say this is a distraction. You know what else could be a distraction? People. This is a distraction. It could be. It could be used for good. It could be used for evil. But the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:19, but it's the heart that is deceitful above all things, and who can know it? That's not the problem. It's this. It'll be this. It'll be this, because death and life are in the power of where? Of the tongue. It could be this and what we're hearing. This is not the problem. That's more than, we can say, well, guns. Guns is the problem in this nation. All the school shootings that's going on. Here's the thing. You get a couple of Karens out there around them schools, or a couple of fathers and put them in rotation and see if you have any more school shootings. I guarantee you won't. Guns ain't the problem. It's the heart of man. It hasn't been changed. Minds haven't been renewed. They've been listening to the wrong thing. They've been speaking the wrong thing out. It's not the gun. It's not the phone. It's the heart. I don't have a gun. I got two guns. No. Thunder and lightning. That's fine. The Holy Spirit is very, very specific. God doesn't teach through sickness. If you read his word every day, you listen to the preacher, he speaks to you in prayer. I mean, it's done through his word, and we can sometimes just ignore that word. You come here on Sunday, the Lord could be speaking to you. Even through worship, he could be saying something to you. The preacher gets up and preaches, says something, man, that could be God, whatever. You get home and you read the word, man, God is really, and you can ignore all of that. There's a bus that might drive by with the scripture that God wants you to focus on. Still nothing. He sends, you might get a bird with a note on his foot. What is this? The same scripture. Somebody might meet you in the store with a tattoo of that scripture on their arm. Well, I just don't know what God is trying to tell me. You could be eating Cheerios. All of a sudden, you look down, your Cheerios are spelt out. Obey. My Lord, what are you trying to? No, it's not through sickness and disease. It's not through tragedies. But you can definitely learn something. And if those tragedies bring you closer to God, then great. If it helps you to draw near to him in that storm, awesome. But if you get distance from him, then there's a problem. You weren't connected to the true vine. You cut yourself off. He didn't cut you off. You cut yourself off. And we can do that sometimes because we get a little bit stale. We get a little bit impatient. And part of growth is the patient part, being patient. We're going to talk about that next week. You can't rush him. It's got to be in his timing. You know, Daniel. Daniel, there was a time when he prayed and it happened within a couple of days. Then there was another time when he prayed, it took 3 weeks. But he was patient. God does not bring tragedy into your life to teach you a lesson, period. See, we wouldn't even do that in our own children's life. Now, we would whoop them, spank them. How do y'all say spank? My mom called our butts a back part. But we discipline them. But we wouldn't dare try to kill them, smash their car up, run into them. See, I told you a lesson. Put your seatbelt on. While they're hanging out the window like, okay. Verse 3, it says, you have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the tree. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. So if you disconnect yourself from the vine, you are useless to God's kingdom. Remain in Jesus through the good, the bad, and the ugly. But you know what? Jesus will always be the same throughout it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Remain in him. Abide in his word. In John 8, 31, 32, it says, if you abide in me, in my word, then you are my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth shall make you free. We have to abide, continue in it, stay in it, stay put, stay in his word. Lord, I'm not hearing from you. Stay in the word. Don't deviate from it. Stay in his word. But I'm getting impatient and nothing's happening. Stay in his word. There is something happening. As soon as you prayed, if it's according to his promise, as soon as you prayed, something happened. But stay on his word. Remain in his word. Meditate on it. Allow it to ruminate in your heart and mind. You cannot be fruitful unless you remain in Jesus. However you choose to spend time with them, do it. In between classes, on your way to work, in the shower, in between whoopings with your kids. You got to, man. Otherwise, you can do some damage if you're not doing it in the right spirit. It becomes abuse. Lord, help me to get hold of you before I get hold of them. I don't know if that's how they said it, but Stay with it. Verse 5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches, those who remain in me, and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If people fail in their lives, it's because they didn't remain in him. Somewhere down the line, they never got hooked up, or they may have got disconnected. They end up jumping out of the plane, and they had no chute. And, you know, anytime, I have much respect for this woman here. She told me she went skydiving one time, and it was awesome. Vicky, I mean, she said, I went skydiving before. I say, what? That was awesome. That's pretty cool. They gave you a parachute, right? Yeah. Yes. See, we have that life preserver. We have Jesus. Listen, if we're going out jumping, we don't have to go pre-basing or anything like that. We jump, and they give us a parachute. And on that parachute, they got a thing that's called a rip cord. And if we are failing, if we are falling down, if we are doing those things that's going to send us in a downward spiral, pull the cord. As Elaine said it, yank it like you're starting a mower. Pull the cord. Why? Because Jesus is there. He wants to help you. He wants to keep you from falling. Now unto him who was able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy to the only wise God, our Savior. Jesus is that chute. Pull the cord. You don't have to do life without him. But if you do, we will fail. See, people think that Samson failed. Samson didn't fail. Maybe he should have ran away because his wife Delilah was evil. Delilah was a woman who was used by people to destroy Samson. They paid her to destroy her own husband. But think about it. Some people, I got a Delilah in my life right now. I'm married to one. Here's the thing, don't run away from that. You know the Bible says in Proverbs 28:1? You got that scripture? Look at what it says. That's why you don't run. You don't ever run from those situations. You're made righteous in him. It says the wicked run away when no one is chasing them. But the godly, the righteous, are as bold as lions. That's where you're at. You are the righteousness of God. You are as bold as a lion. See, Delilah was very immature. That's why she was able to be bought. Her lack of submission. Even when her husband was submitted, her lack of submission. Delilah was prideful. She was greedy. She sold Samson out for money. Now, you can't fault Delilah 100% because I don't think there's any man on the face of this planet that is telling their wife, hey, babe, go ahead and tell everybody my weakness. Please talk about me. Please smear my name amongst all your friends and family and all that stuff. No man is saying that. Delilah became that way because of her environment, her table, where she grew up, is what was demonstrated to her all those years. See, the title of my message is The Family That Prays Together, P-R-A-Y-S. The family that prays together grows together and will reign together. But the family that P-R-E-Y-S together, they never grow. They're the ones that's living a life that's cut off from Jesus. Pray means to, P-R-E-Y, it means to seize and devour or to commit violence, robbery, or fraud. That's a learned behavior. To come against the one you are supposed to be one flesh with. Delilah was supposed to be one flesh with Samson, and she wasn't one flesh. She was still doing her own thing because of how she was raised. Now, man, here's the thing. Sometimes people may get too busy praying, P-R-E-Y, rather than P-R-A-Y. The family that prays together grows together and reigns together. It was her table. It was her surroundings. Now there's a scripture. My wife might be like that. Okay. Let me see if I can find that scripture here. Proverbs 31. You have that up there? What? Yeah, here it is right there. It says, who can find a virgin? This is what you speak over your wife. You don't run away. You stand firm. He says, who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her. I can trust her, and she will greatly enrich my life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She is like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plans the day for work. Plans the day's work for her servant girls. She goes in to inspect a field and buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She is energetic and strong, a hard worker. She makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamp burns late into the night. Not her TV. No, it's fine. Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. She has no fear of winter for her household, for everyone has warm clothes. She makes her own bedspreads. She dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. It's royalty. Her husband is well known at the city gates where he sits with the other civic leaders. She makes belted linen, garment, and sashes to sell to the merchants. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. You ain't got to run. You just begin to speak this over her. Is that going to happen overnight? No, because growth is a process. You sow the seed. You ain't got to get mad. And that can work in men too. I'm married. I'm going to have to get divorced. No need to run away. Cowards run away, but the righteous run towards. David didn't run away from Goliath, did he? He ran towards him. He met him. The righteous are as bold as a lion. So it's very, very important that we read the whole story of Samson and Delilah, because when it was all said and done, Samson got his final victory over him. They all died. In Judges 16, it says, the Philistine rulers had a great festival, held a great festival, offering sacrifices and praises, praising their god Dagon. They said, our God has given us victory over our enemy Samson. When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, our God has delivered our enemy to us. The one who killed us, so many of us, is now in our power. Half drunk by now, the people demanded, bring out Samson so he could amuse us. So he was brought from the prison to amuse them, and they had him stand between the pillars supporting the roof. Samson said to the young servant who was leading him by the hand, place me against the pillars that hold up the temple. I want to rest against them. Now the temple was filled with people, completely filled with people. All the Philistine rulers were there, and there were about 3,000 men and women on the roof who were watching as Samson amused them. And Samson prayed to the Lord, Sovereign Lord, remember me again. Oh God, please strengthen me just one more time. With one blow, let me pay back the Philistines for the loss of my two eyes. And Samson put his hands on the two center pillars that held up the temple, pushing against them with both hands. He prayed, let me die with the Philistines. And the temple crashed down on the Philistines, rulers and all the people. So he killed more people when he died than he had during his entire lifetime. Well, if Samson would have ran, he would have lasted longer. Listen, we're all appointed to die sometime, but we all do have an assignment. We all do have a race to run, and it's important for us to fulfill that race. Elijah ran. Elijah ran away from Jezebel. So it took Jehu to come and do it. You don't want to have to run away from something and have somebody else fulfill your position, fill your position for you. You don't run away from trouble. We don't run away from storms. We run towards the storm. Buffaloes run towards the storms. Cows run away. Thank God for that, because I wouldn't have anything to eat. See, when we call those things that be not as though they are. Romans 4, 16 says this, therefore it is a faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of law, but also to those who are the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and called those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believe, so that he might become the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. Abram meant high father, but God took that and made him a father of many nations. He called those things that be not as though they are. See, faith doesn't deny that the problem exists. That's why we can say when somebody is sick, be healed in the name of Jesus. We're calling those things that be not as though they are. We call this place filled in the name of Jesus. We call lives impacted by the kingdom of God in the name, in this city, in the name of Jesus, in our families, in the name of Jesus. God created the world by calling those things that be not. When there was darkness, he said, let there be light, and there was. And he saw that it was good. He's calling those things that be not. It was never given to us to be able to take something and then twist it just so that we can get our own stuff. There was a lady, we did it in our Andrew Womack's Bible study when this lady wanted to marry Kenneth Copeland. All right? So she, problem is, Kenneth Copeland was already married. So adultery is not in the atonement of Jesus for us to have, to be able to do. So what she decided to do was curse Gloria. Well, that's not a part of the atonement either. Murder is not. And she had this wedding dress and had a big old ceremony. And she believed that she married Brother Copeland in the spirit. As Andrew Womack would say, how dumb can you get and still breathe? That's not part. That's not, she was trying to call those things that be not as though they are. But that's not how it works. See, we want this church filled or what have you, but I would rather you grow spiritually more so than. But here's the thing. Well, since I'm in competition with every other church, well, I call them empty and all their people come here. Doesn't work that way. Why? Because that's a selfish prayer. And the Bible says, I can't ask God for that because I'm asking him so that I might spend it upon my own pleasures. Those things don't happen. I can't break up somebody else's marriage. And because I'm trying to call those things that be not as though they are. That's not provided for me. God ain't backing that up. So what do I have to do? I got to put out some false narrative. I got to get some people that ought to get along with it and push out that narrative. And then I got to try to bring it to pass behind the scenes myself because God ain't helping me. That is not calling those things. That's twisted. That is not the same thing. You know, if you tell a lie, even if it's a little white lie or a little black lie, depending on your region. Can I get somebody who's young, who think they can keep this up for a little bit? He doesn't want to go. He's like, no, don't, mom, don't, mom. You want to come up? Think you can keep this balloon from hitting the ground? Yeah, just keep it up in the air. You can use your hand, your feet, your head, your back, your glute. Okay, just keep it up. See, now that represents a lie. They're just keeping it. It's pretty manageable, ain't it? But you know, when people find out, especially when you're hanging around with overthinkers, they're going to spot a few holes within that lie. So what happens? You end up telling another lie to cover up. All right, now we got two. Keep them going. We got to, look, he's trying to keep them. We're trying to juggle. We're trying to manage. I'll give you one again. Go ahead. You want to come up now? Still don't? Come on, Oakley. Oakley, right? Okay, I always get them mixed up. I call it Collins. It's Oakley. You should know me by now. Okay, now, okay, you got that lie going. Now you got to get another lie to cover up that lie. So what happens is you got it going. But see, now you bring in somebody else. Now you can juggle more lies. Go ahead and juggle that. So, but again, it's still a lie. It's still a false narrative. It's still a story. That ain't true. So you got to cover up a lie with another lie. And there you go. Y'all got to keep all those up. And if you can't keep them up, you got to bring somebody else in. And the more and more, it just continues to go. Come on, keep it going. We need somebody else. Come on up. Come on up, Luke. We need somebody else. Keep it going. Yeah, we're juggling. Keep it going. Go ahead. Get that one. Keep it going. Keep it up. There you go. Got three lies going. Got three stories, different stories all around. Come on up, Richard. He always likes to participate. He's a good man. Well, you got this story going over here. Well, there goes out another lie. Come on up, Richard. There goes another lie because you got to keep it going. And here's the thing. And all you're doing is just lying to other people. You're lying to yourself. All right, now. Thank you. God bless you. That's good. Thank you. You can put them down. Or you could take them with you. Richard, I ain't taking them. Now what happens? See, now you can keep all those things going and managing and juggling in every which way, but pretty soon those lies are going to fall. Or they should, because it's like, Lord, all right, I give up. I surrender. I don't need to do that. I don't need to keep telling those stories. I don't need to keep telling those lies. I've already said before, there's nothing that I can't say behind somebody's back that I can't say to their face. Real men don't lie, because you're tough already. You're already tough. You got the King of Kings living on the inside of you. You shouldn't have to tell a lie. Just say, you need me to repeat that? Right? You need me to repeat that? I'll repeat it for you. But I'm not going to go out and do it for you. Time to grow up. And see, in a family that prays, P-R-E-Y-S, they don't ever grow up spiritually. They end up being their own gods. They end up being their own King of Kings. They end up being their own lords. And they end up messing everything up for everybody else because we make a horrible God. We make a horrible Savior. If we allow Him to be the Savior, we're good. God won't back up the stories that we say that we know isn't true. Well, I just believe today there's going to be 10 people that's going to give me $10,000. And I know that's a lie in the beginning. Now, I'm not saying this truthfully. I'm just not saying that. Then I'm going to work on Dean and see if he can go ahead and push that story out for me. I'm working on Richard to see if he can push that story out. Why? I just believe the Lord is trying to get people to sow into Pastor Tim for $10,000. Well, I'm going to work on get Dustin and see if he can push that narrative out for me too. I said, that would be me trying to call those things that be not as though they are. But at the same time, it never came from God. that never came from God. So we have to be mindful of that. How come God isn't doing these things in my life? I said, well, check up on what you've been saying. Check up on your intentions. Is it really selfish? Is it something that you just want, or is it what God wants for you? And I guarantee you, you're going to be sleeping well at night because you don't have to juggle all, oh, I forgot to tell someone. So the first thing in the morning, this is what you're doing. You're pushing out another narrative just to cover up that last one, and you need somebody else to be going along with it. See, that's why people can be a distraction sometimes, because they got you doing some things in your life when you're supposed to be taking care of your kids, you're supposed to be working, you're supposed to be doing what God has called you to do, and you get so busy in somebody else's life covering up their stories. We can be worse than a phone at times. Stay focused to what he's called you to do. Stay focused to what he's allowed you to do. Stay focused to the authority that he has given you, because all that does is just reduce you down to something that you're really not. You got love, joy, peace, patience, loving kindness, meekness, self-control. You have all of those living on the inside of you. You have the fruit of the Spirit. Now go and be fruitful. Be fruitful. Be fruitful not only for the kingdom, but for your family. Be fruitful. And become that family, that P-R-A-Y-S, that will grow together and then reign together. Kingdom families. That's the key. But I don't, doesn't matter what you did in the past. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where you've been. You learn your lesson. Now you're starting from experience. I think I'm a pretty big competitor, but I scare myself sometimes if I really wanted to be really, really competitive. I'll be all in people's faces if I wanted to. But Jesus has shown me there's another level. Competitiveness, this is what our culture does. Then there's domination. And Jesus dominated. Bring your family along. You'll grow together, you'll pray together, you'll grow together, and you'll reign together. Bring them along. When you teach your kids how to handle those situations in life, you have them turn unto you or to God. That's what matters. You don't have to have every answer. No, raising up teenagers, my youngest one, TJ's 20, but you know what? It was the first time raising up a teen. It's my first time being a teen. Well, it's my first time being a parent of a teen. I'm learning as I go, but you can't do it without Jesus. So let's stand. Let's stand, let's stand, let's stand. I'm not going to throw any balloons at you. And hopefully, as God begins to prune things out of our own lives, and again, everyone is different. I wasn't trying to throw any sticks or stones or anything. Everyone's different. Everybody's got their own branch to be pruned in our own lives. But when people see you, let it be because, oh, I know they got a blessing for me. They got something for me, something good. Let their faces light up when they see you, rather than duck and hiding like your people coming door to door. Amen. Father God, we thank you for today. We bless everyone here, every family here, Father God, that is rooted in your word and their household is covered by your blood, Jesus. Father, we speak against every sickness and every disease because we know that isn't from you. We call those things that be not as though they are. We call them healed. Anyone is dealing with any kind of ailment, doesn't matter, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, we call you healed in Jesus' name. The name which is above all names. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for peace that surpasses all understanding. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Amen. And amen. Turn and give somebody a high five or a fist bump or something. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.